Glory to God. Thank God for the word. Thank God for redemption. Thank God for the word of life. Hallelujah. You're welcome to another episode on Every Day with Jesus broadcast. Our lives will not remain the same again. Oh, thank you, Jesus. So, we've been studying forgiveness of sins, remission of sins in Christ Jesus, which is one and the same as salvation in Christ. And then right now, we are studying an aspect of this remission of sins, which is reconciliation. Reconciliation. Metaphors for salvation. Reconciliation. This is the part four. And we've been seeing quite a lot of things about this reality. And, you know, yesterday we saw how that the implication of this reconciliation is that we have come to have peace with God. Hallelujah. We've come to have peace and harmony with the Father, in the which we are sure of God's disposition towards us. We know we are at peace with the Father. We know that God is not counting anything against us. We know that God is not against us. God is not displeased with us. God is at peace with us. Glory to God. God is at peace with us. Look at Ephesians chapter 2 again. Ephesians chapter 2. God is at peace with us in Christ Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2. Glory to God. I'll read from verse 16. Ephesians 2:16. Bible says, "And that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, having put to death, or thereby putting to death the enmity." Verse 17. "And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and to those who were near." He came and preached peace. You know, Jesus came to preach peace by his death and resurrection. So in Christ Jesus, the reconciliation we have received is peace and harmony with the Father, in the which we are sure of God's disposition towards us. We are at peace with God. There's no striving. There's no enmity. Enmity has been broken. And then we are at peace. We are in harmony with the Father. Glory be to Jesus. There are lots of church folks who are yet to come to terms with the reality of this truth. A lot of people are still afraid of God. They don't know who God is. They don't know their place in God. They don't know their place and position in God. Some folks are scared of God. They are more scared of God than they are scared of any other thing in this life. Some folks cannot trust God's disposition towards them. They can't predict how God views them, how God sees them. They can't predict what God wants to do to them in the next minute. They are not sure. Hallelujah. That's not the kind of relationship we have been called to in Christ Jesus. Our faith in Christ has made it so possible to predict God. Hallelujah. Some folks don't like hearing this, but that is the reality. God has become predictable in Christ Jesus. It's predictable. I know what God can say. I know what God can do. I know the thoughts he's thinking towards me. I can predict God. Hallelujah. I can predict God's disposition towards me in Christ Jesus. So, Bible says he came to preach peace to us. And you see, I showed you yesterday how that this was why the Apostle Paul and, the Apostle Peter also, in their letters, always opened their epistles with a particular form of greeting that shows that God is continually at peace with us in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Let me walk you through a few of them. Glory to Jesus. Let me walk you through a few of them. Romans, book of Romans chapter 1. Glory to God. Romans chapter 1. Just a few of them. Romans 1. I would say it's Paul, a bond servant of Jesus Christ, from verse 1. Called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. To all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God. Hallelujah. That's a reflection That's a reflection of God's disposition towards us in Christ. Perpetually, grace and peace to you. Glory be to God. Look at 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. And you know the implication of this, we're going to see implication of this in 1 Corinthians. Paul did not change the tone of his greeting or the form of his greeting in his letter to the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, Bible says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, because he's writing to the Corinthian church, a church that was notable for all kinds of funny things, a church Paul describes as a carnal church. 1 Corinthians in chapter 3, glory be to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, look at what Paul says concerning them. He says, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual, but as to carnal, even as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? So this was a church of carnal people. Men who were divided, men who were in strife, men who were in envy, envying one another, men who were practicing favoritism. Men who were choosing, you know, who were preferring one minister above the other in the same church. Glory be to God. And then Paul, in writing his epistle to these guys, didn't change his tone. Hallelujah. At Romans, he says, grace and peace to you. When he got to 1 Corinthians, a church of carnal people, men who were envious, working in strife and malice and all that, Paul didn't say, oh, God is pleased with you. Hallelujah. He says, no, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The same disposition of God towards a church that was well behaved is the same disposition of God towards a church that is not well behaved. The same disposition, you know why? Because the peace we have in Christ is not based on our attitude or conduct, things we have done, things we are doing, things we will do. It is based on the finished work of Christ Jesus and our faith in Him. Peace is found in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Our reconciliation is based on our acceptance of Jesus' finished work. Glory be to God. So the disposition of God will not change. Even if God were to discipline us and correct us and instruct us, it won't be out of anger or strife or judgment. No, it will be out of what? Out of His love. Glory be to God. Out of His love. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. God disciplines us out of His love. Hebrews in chapter 12, look at this quickly. Hebrews 12, I'll read from verse 5. Hebrews 12, verse 5. Bible says, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by Him. For whom the Lord loves, He chastens, and scourges every son whom He receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed chastened us for a few days, as seemed best to them, but if for our profit, that we may be partakers of His holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful nevertheless afterward. It yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Now, you notice that the chastening of the Lord, as taught in the New Testament, the discipline of the Lord is by His word and His spirit. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 to 17. All scripture is given and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So, scriptures are sufficient to make the man of God thoroughly equipped for every good work. Hallelujah. Thoroughly equipped for every good work. The discipline, the chastening, the training is correction in righteousness. Instruction in righteousness. Instruction in righteousness is the nurture of God by the Spirit and His Word. Hallelujah. The nurture of God by His Spirit and His Word. God doesn't beat His children. Amen. He's not found in child abuse. He doesn't beat His children. You know, someone says, oh, God has been dealing with me with brain tumor. No, that's not God. If you are not careful, you just begin to pamper things you ought to resist and cast out. Hallelujah. Jesus gave us power over sicknesses. He gave us power to heal the sick. If God is the one afflicting people with sickness, then Jesus will have been giving us commission to go and undo the works of God. But the Bible tells us in Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We see that Jesus was healing men of the oppression of Satan, because it's Satan that is found in oppression. Glory be to Jesus. In fact, you know, as a father, as a parent, as a mother, you know, you discover that parents in the natural who inflict pain on their children are considered to be wicked. Parents who are, you know, in a bid to teach their children some lessons, inflict pain on them. You find parents who cut their children with blade. I mean, that's child abuse. That's serious child abuse. Hallelujah. And it's only in Africa, such things can go on and persist for a long time. It's only in Africa such things can persist for such a long time. You can't even dare lay your hands on children, you know, in other places. Glory be to God. God does not beat his children. He's not in the beating and flogging business. God corrects by his word and by his spirit. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So we see that the discipline of the Lord is even in love. So, both the church that is well behaved and the church that is a carnal church, a church full of strife and envy, a church where men were given to the flesh. Paul says, grace and peace to you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And this teaches us something. This actually teaches us something. That a minister of the gospel, when we want to preach the word of God as ministers of the gospel, we can't afford to be emotional. We must always stay with the word of God. We must always give an assurance to people from the word of God, not based on our emotions. If Paul were to vent his anger on the Corinthians from the beginning of his letter, he would have written something contrary to what he knew to be truth. Hallelujah. To what he knew to be the truth. He would have written something else. He would have told them, God is mad with you now. God wants to destroy all of you. Arrange yourself. Put your house in order. You know, something contrary to the mind of God, because that would be reacting based on emotions and feelings, based on their attitudes. You know, sometimes people do things that get you mad. You are provoked as a preacher. You are not happy. You are not, you know, but you must come to terms with the fact that God is not feeling the same way. Hallelujah. God is not feeling the same way. Your anger is not God's anger. Your anger and provocation is not the same with God's anger and provocation. God is not provoked or angry. Glory be to Jesus. And so because of this, God does not address issues based on emotions, based on feelings. Glory to Jesus. God is not acting on impulse. God is not impulsive. You know, his word is settled and he addresses every situation, every character flaw, every character deficiency, every immaturity. He addresses it by his word, which is constant and stable, by his word. Glory be to God. So Paul, in spite of the fact that the Corinthian church was given over to the flesh, they were a carnal church, they were misbehaving, Paul had to stay with the testimony of God concerning them. Hallelujah. In fact, look at what he says concerning them. Ha, glory to God. You know, a preacher of the gospel cannot afford to not grow in the faith. He can't afford to not grow. He can't afford to not mature in the faith to a point where he's able to put his emotions under. Because men will provoke you. Men will say things and do things that will make you want to say, you are not born again. But you see, you must learn to stay with the word of God and give people assurance in spite of what they are doing. See 1 Corinthians chapter 1 again. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Shortly after he said, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 4. He says, I thank my God always concerning you. Hallelujah. In spite of their attitude problems, in spite of all the issues that abounded in the Corinthian church, Paul is saying, I thank my God always concerning you. Why? For the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus. Glory be to God. There was nothing in their conduct at that point in time that was exciting. There was nothing in their attitude, in their behavior at that point in time that called for thanksgiving or rejoicing that could make Paul excited and glad. In fact, many of the things they were doing were breaking his heart. They were making him sorrowful. More like he was laboring over them and they were not making progress as they ought to. But you know what? He says, I thank my God always for you, for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Verse 5, that you were enriched in everything by him in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of Jesus of the Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Have you seen? God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Paul is staying with God's testimony concerning these guys, because if Paul were to write to them based on their attitudes and conduct, oh God, Paul would have said, oh, you guys, God has withdrawn his grace. You need to start praying for open heavens now. You need to start labor and pressing to connect again. You have disconnected from your maker. You've disconnected from your savior. Oh, Paul would have been lamenting. And you know, that would have just been him preaching based on emotions and sentiments and his own bias. Hallelujah. But Paul chose to stay with the word of God. I thank God for you always. Hallelujah. Always for the grace of God that was given to you. Glory be to God. So, everywhere in his epistles, he kept assuring men that this is God's disposition towards them. Look at the second epistle to the Corinthians. Second epistle to the Corinthians. This is also very instructive. From chapter 1, verse 2, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Now, the second epistle was written to them at a point in time when they had repented from some of the things that Paul corrected in the first epistle. So, before repentance, Paul says, grace and peace to you. After repentance, grace and peace to you. Hallelujah. So this means that while the repentance of the saints may not be constant, God's grace and peace is constant. It is not based on repentance. It is not based on works. It is not based on a change in conduct. It's not based on anything. It is based on that which is done and finished in Christ Jesus. That which has been settled and achieved and done and finished and completed by the work of Christ. We have peace in him. Hallelujah. We have peace with God. We have harmony with the Father in his Son. Glory be to God. Romans chapter 5, Bible says, therefore, having been justified by his grace, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace is constant because it's not based on what we do. It is based on our faith in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, let's come to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 1, I'll read from verse 1. Bible says, Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with me, to the churches of Galatia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Have you seen? So the Galatian churches were also, Paul wrote to them in the same way, grace and peace to you, assuring them of God's constant and perpetual disposition towards them. Now, this is interesting because the churches of Galatia at this point in time, just like the Corinthians that were, you know, immersed into all kinds of funny attitudes and character flaws and were referred to as the carnal church, the Galatian church, on the other hand, had a doctrinal flaw. Hallelujah. A doctrinal flaw. They had become bewitched by those who were preaching that they must be circumcised, they must keep the law of Moses to be justified, and they had retreated. Hallelujah. They had retreated from the message of grace to the message of the law. So Paul is writing to them in this particular condition. Paul is writing to them in this their state. But Paul is not reacting to them in his opening, in his greeting. He's not reacting to them based on their state. He's giving them an assurance of who God has made them, of God's disposition towards them, in spite of their errors, in spite of their mistakes, in spite of the fact that at that point in time, they were already following a false doctrine. Paul is still saying to them, grace and peace to you. Hallelujah. Grace and peace to you. From God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So, but then he would go on to begin to correct and admonish them Because the correction and admonition is not against the grace of God. It is in the grace of God. Hallelujah. It is by the grace of God. The nurture of the saints, the correction of the saints, the instruction of the saints is by the grace of God. Hallelujah. So Paul is not reacting emotionally. Paul is not saying, see, Galatian churches, God has forsaken you finally. Paul is not acting based on his emotions. If he were to act on his emotions, he would have told them, see, there's no peace for the wicked. Hallelujah. You know, but he wasn't acting on his emotions. He had to give them an assurance of God's disposition towards them. Grace and peace to you. Hallelujah. This was a church that had retreated, had withdrawn from the message of God's grace, and had, you know, obeyed and opened up their hearts to those who were preaching that the law of Moses was the way to be justified, or the way unto spiritual maturity. Glory to God. The way to go on to spiritual maturity. Look at Galatians 1, verse 6. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. Have you seen? This was their state. And yet in this state, Paul is giving them an assurance that the grace and the peace of God is to you. Hallelujah. Grace and peace is to you. If you are listening to this broadcast this morning, or whenever you'll be listening to it, maybe as a downloaded podcast, and you've lost fear, anxiety, you are not sure of God's disposition towards you. You've lost fear for, you know, as long as you've been a Christian. You've lost fear. You are always afraid. You are always afraid. You have this feeling of terror that envelops you every time you think about God. You are not sure of what God is thinking about you. I want to assure you this morning that God's disposition towards you in Christ on a perpetual basis is grace and peace. Hallelujah. God is at peace with you. God is at peace with you. God will never be angry with you. God can never be angry with you. God will never be displeased with you. God is always, always, at all times, in all places, in any given situation, God is always at peace with you. Hallelujah. God is always at peace with you. Glory be to God. Look at how this is taught in Isaiah 54, you know, as a prophecy. Isaiah 54, I'll read from verse 7. Bible says, for a mere moment I have forsaken you, but with great mercies I'll gather you. With a little wrath I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting kindness I will have mercy on you. Everlasting kindness. I will have mercy on you, says the Lord your Redeemer. Look at verse 9. For this is like the waters of Noah to me, for as I have sworn that the waters of Noah would no longer cover the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be angry with you, nor rebuke you. Have you seen? I will not be angry with you. I have sworn. Glory to Jesus. I've sworn to not be angry with you, nor to rebuke you. Glory to Jesus. Look at verse 10. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord who has mercy on you. Have you seen? My covenant of peace will not be removed. That's why Apostle Paul continually assured men of this reality. Grace and peace to you. Grace and peace to you, because my covenant of peace will never be removed. Hallelujah. It says, my kindness shall not depart from you. I will not be angry with you nor rebuke you. You need to read this portion of scripture slowly on your own. Just read it. Let it sink in. I will never be angry with you. That is God speaking. I will never be angry with you. I will never be angry with you nor rebuke you. Glory to God. The rebuke here speaks of judgment. Hallelujah. Judgment for sin. Judgment for sin. Condemnation. So God says, I will never be angry with you. I will never rebuke you. Can we trust God? Can we believe what God is saying? Can we just rest on God's promises fulfilled already in Christ Jesus? Hallelujah. He will never be angry. He will never rebuke. The kindness of God will not depart. His covenant of peace will never be removed. This is not based on works. It is not based on our own faithfulness. It is based on God's faithfulness. Hallelujah. It is not based on what we are doing. It's based on what Jesus did for you and I. Hallelujah. God's covenant of peace will never be removed. Glory be to God. And you see, this covenant of peace is the new covenant. Glory to Jesus. That's the new covenant. That's why the gospel is an announcement of God's peace. God's peace, God's reconciliation, harmony with humanity. That's the announcement of peace. That's the covenant of peace. The new covenant of Christ Jesus is the covenant of peace. That's why the Bible says, and he came and preached peace to you. both to those who are far off and to those who are near. Jesus came to preach peace by enacting a covenant of peace. Glory to Jesus. So we are in harmony with the Father. God is at peace with us. We are at peace with God because of what Jesus did. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Look at Romans chapter 10. As I begin to close, Romans 10. God is at peace with us. The gospel is called the gospel of peace. Harmony with God, harmony with the Father. Reconciliation. Romans chapter 10 verse 15. And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace. Who bring glad tidings of good things. The gospel of peace. Hallelujah. The gospel is called the gospel of peace. Look at Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10 to 15. Ephesians 6, 10 to 15. Coincidentally, Ephesians 6, 15, Romans 10, 15, both speak of the gospel of peace. It's just a coincidence. Hallelujah. Don't make any mystery out of it. Say, number 15, every verse 15. Let me go and check it. You're just going to make a mess of the scriptures. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Ephesians in chapter 6. Finally, my brethren, from verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, verse 15, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Hallelujah. The gospel is the gospel of peace. The gospel that announces a reconciliation. That announces reconciliation with the Father. Reconciliation with the Father. Peace and harmony to the Father. Or with the Father. Glory to Jesus. Peace with God in Christ Jesus. That's the gospel of Christ. So in Christ, in the gospel, we find reconciliation. In the remission of sins, we find reconciliation. We are harmonized with the Father. We are united. We are joined. We are brought into union with the Father. We are brought in. Glory to Jesus. And do you know what this does for us? It gives us boldness and confidence before the Father. Hallelujah. We are bold towards God. We are bold and confident towards God. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians in chapter 3. Glory to God. I'll read from verse 8. Bible says, to me who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Hallelujah. We have boldness and access and confidence in Christ Jesus. The word boldness, there's the word that means assurance. We have assurance in the sight of God. We have assurance towards God. Hallelujah. We are bold because we know our place in him. We are bold because we know that we have peace with the Father. We are bold because we know that God has reconciled us to himself. He's not counting sins towards us. 2 Corinthians 5:19 is our reality. God is in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their sins towards them, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. We know God is not dealing with us based on our sins, based on anything we've done wrong. God is dealing with us on the merit of his son, Jesus Christ. So we are peace with God. We are reconciled to God. And because of that, we have boldness and confidence towards God. Hallelujah. We are bold towards the Father. It's not disrespect. It's our inheritance. It's a privilege given us in Christ Jesus. God wants us to approach him boldly. God wants us to establish our hearts in this reality. God wants us to express this boldly, express this confidence on a daily basis. God wants us to be assured of his love. Assured of the fact that we are at peace with him, we are in harmony with him. God wants us to be assured. He wants us to be bold and confident in this truth. Hallelujah. Look at 1 John chapter 4. In fact, John says, the man that has not been made perfect in love is the man that is afraid, is the man that fears. 1 John chapter 4, glory to Jesus. 1 John 4 verse 17, Bible says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There's no fear in love, verse 18, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Have you seen? The love of God has been perfected in us that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Hallelujah. And that boldness starts from now. We have assurance in the sight of God. We have assurance towards God because his love has been perfected in our hearts. Hallelujah. His love has been perfected in our hearts. Do you understand what we're talking about in this place? Have you come to terms with the reality of the fact that because of our reconciliation with God, we are bold towards him, even unto the day of judgment? Glory to God. You see, it's when a man is in enmity that he's not expecting a favorable disposition towards him. But when you are reconciled with somebody, when you are in harmony with somebody, when you are friends with somebody, you know what to expect. Hallelujah. So because we are reconciled to the Father in Christ Jesus by the precious blood of his Son, we know what to expect. Hallelujah. We know what to expect. Because of this, we are bold now, and we are going to be bold in the day of judgment. Glory be to God. We are bold. We are bold. We know what to expect. We know we cannot be cast out. We know God is not going to deal with us according to our trespasses or our sins. We know God is not imputing sins towards us. He's not taking an account of sin. God is not reckoning sin to our account because of our reconciliation in Christ Jesus. We know we are at peace with the Father now and forevermore. Glory to God. Oh, thank God for peace in Christ. Thank God for peace in Christ. Oh, thank God for peace in Christ. Thank God for peace in Christ. Thank God for peace and harmony and reconciliation with the Father. Glory to God. You know, I'm just so grateful today. I'm so grateful today. I'm overwhelmed. So overwhelmed. So overwhelmed by the reality of my peace in Christ Jesus, by the reality of peace and harmony with the Father in Christ Jesus, overwhelmed by the reality of my reconciliation with the Father and the implication of the same. I have boldness towards God. I have boldness towards God. I have boldness and confidence towards the Father, both now and the world to come. At peace with the Father, both now, in time, and in eternity. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. And you see, that's your testimony too. If you're a child of God, you're listening to this broadcast, you're born again, this is your testimony. If you are not born again, you need to receive the gospel. You need to receive the Lord Jesus into your heart today. What is the gospel? That Jesus died and rose again for your sins. He died for your sins. He suffered for you. He went to the cross on your behalf. He took your place. Hallelujah. Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So Jesus died your death. He took your place. He paid the price in your name. If you believe in this fact, you are saved. Jesus died in your place. He rose again on the third day for your justification. That's the gospel. Bible says that he died for our sins, 1 Corinthians 15, and he was buried and he rose again the third day. You see, Jesus died and rose again for your justification. If you believe in this fact, then you are saved. If you believe in this fact, then you are saved. Glory be to God. And if you are saved, you have peace with the Father. You have harmony with the Father. You have peace with the Father. You have harmony with the Father. As a matter of fact, if you were not saved until now and you were following this message from the beginning, the things I shared in this particular broadcast is enough to get you saved. Hallelujah. Because I communicated to you the reality of the benefits that we have in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Reconciliation. That God is not counting sins against us. That's the good news. Glory be to God. Oh, glory to God. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow. Invite your friends, your colleagues, your family members, your classmates. Just invite as many as you can and let's come together to have another feast of God's word in this place. Glory be to God. Do have a great day. Be full of the word, full of the spirit, full of prayer, spiritual songs, and be a blessing to somebody. Share the gospel with somebody. See you in the next episode.